Welcome to episode 17 of the Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Roger Kirby, and with me, as always, is Mr. Stephen Ridcombe.
Good evening, Roger. It's exciting. Semi-finals are done into the championship weekend.
Yes, it is. Predictable, shall we say, in the regard that the top two seeds got there, but no, it's the climax of it, and I'll be excited to see who comes out on top.
Yeah, there was a 1% thought in my mind that, oh, we're both out of this now, and will we keep this podcast going, which focuses mainly on the Move the Sticks League, but we obviously cover so many other topics and the league in general, and we're going to try and keep this going as long as possible and through
the off-season. We'll be producing our mock drafts version 1.0 pretty soon.
Yeah.
Because we take these things far too seriously. But we harp on about it, but I think we both really, really do enjoy doing the podcasts, and we're getting more and more positive feedback on this, and hopefully the millions will start rolling in soon.
Well, just to drop some numbers, it was a 17 download week last week across the world for the podcast. So a little bit of a dip from our high of a few weeks ago, but still great to see that many people. But I can probably count 3 devices for me that download it and 3 for you. So that only leaves 11. But never mind.
Well, I'd just to start on a downer for? I was so upbeat and ready to go, but yeah.
Obviously, the good thing is now we're into the playoffs in the fantasy football world. That there's not too many matchups to cover and recap, so we can cover a few other topics that are just out there in the league and football in general. So should be good. And based on that, we don't really have too much of a rundown, so to speak. So we'll see where this this podcast takes us.
I like to start personally with the takeaways. Major takeaways from last week. Anything that jumped out when you
week
apart 15. From the blindingly obvious that Johnny Manziel can't play, and he's still in this league, and he'll never make a decent quarterback.
There's that, and obviously Aaron Rodgers. That's him. He's done.
Packers are done as well now, aren't they?
I mean, a load of people have dropped them from first or second seeds, and in power rankings, dropping them down to fifth, sixth, maybe even missing the playoffs in the NFC. And steady on, guys. It's that Buffalo side, as Ross Tucker likes to say, nobody kind of hustles like the Bills.
And nobody rounds the wagons or something like that. I don't know, quite know what the phrase. I think it's more of an American phrase, but I think it gets to this kind of stage, and there's going to be a few performances like that along the way, and
you got people.
I don't think it detracts from what the Packers are, not by a long stretch of the imagination. You know, they are what we all thought they were. They are a fantastic side. They look better at home at Lambeau, but if they come up against an aggressive, defensive line, that own line has got better, but it's still not by a long stretch of the imagination, absolutely and utterly studly. So,
yeah, and it's the time of the season where people are playing for jobs, coaches are playing for jobs as well, and so there's these unusually competitive games in some matches, but at the same time, there's other teams who potentially are maybe trying to. I don't know if people ever do this. People talk about it, trying to basically suck one week to try and get a better pick in the draft next year.
Yeah, I don't necessarily. I tend not to believe that goes on, but I tend to believe that the inverse of that goes on, where you've got the likes of someone like Jim Swartz, whose name is going to be potentially bandied around after he seemingly has taken on that the Mike Pettine. Defense there in Buffalo, which seemed a hard thing to do because they were pretty feisty last year. Now, obviously, it's a product of the players staying fit and healthy, but considering the damage he seemed to do to his reputation towards the end there, and rubbed a lot of people up the wrong way towards the end there, as I say, in Detroit, he seems to have put himself back amongst them.
Yeah, is he just one of those guys as well where you look and think, you know what, he's a better hand in the dirt type coach? he's a defensive coordinator, and as a head coach, as we've talked about before, he's such different qualities and skills required to be that head coach rather than just a coordinator.
Could definitely be. I mean, we say that about, I think, Gary Kubiak is the classic example of that. I do think it takes a certain person and a certain type of character to excel, because these guys, you know, they're coming from both sides of the one side of the ball, and and I've got very, very strong opinions personally on the way that the NFL teams kind of practice and scrimmage. I find it counterintuitive, counterproductive. You know, you pit the defense against the offense. And you know, after reading the book Collision Low Crosses, it was really, really interesting to see, you know, Rex's defense continually mauled Schottenheimer and you know, Mark Sanchez on a day-to-day basis in training camp. And then you kind of wonder, when they go out there and they've had a difficult week in training and practice, they're kind of going to take that out onto the field.
Yeah, it does seem an odd thing. I mean, you think of teams, say, like always a Peyton Manning side. Their offense will always be such a high intensity and level playing in terms of the way they practice on the offense side of the ball. Some defensive players will talk about how that's going to make them better because they're going up the best each week. But at the same time, if you are constantly just getting scored upon in
practice, getting it handed to you day in, day out,
it's going to wear you down. I mean, just a little, I remember thinking about that back in my days working for Surrey Cricket. We would have training sessions, and one of the greats of the English cricket game, just to bore all these football fans out there, was Mark Ramprakash, one of the great batsmen who didn't quite make it at the international level, but on the professional circuit was an outstanding batsman. And bowlers, young bowlers, just didn't like practicing against him. It was just so fruitless. You'd be trying everything and he would just be destroying you in the practice sessions, and people just didn't want to bowl at him. They'd rather go bowl to somebody else because it's not worth their while, almost, because they had no success in practice, and it hurt them.
I think there's definitely some merit to that, without a shadow of a doubt. And it's an interesting dynamic, because essentially, as a head coach, what you need to do is you need to find a way of bringing both sides of the ball together to unite in the sense of a common goal, whilst also making sure that each individual group gleans a certain professional pride in what they do, you know, in stopping the offense scoring and vice versa.
I seem to think, when it comes to our version of football over here, soccer, that it seems when you're doing larger scrimmages with 9 or 11 players a side, you generally have the full first team on one side playing against the second team. It's not your best attackers playing against your best defenders, generally, so that you're not trying to demoralise your defenders by scoring on them continuously with your best players. So, a slight lesson that could be learned from one football to the other, perhaps.
Yeah, potentially. I do, as I say, I think there's a degree of merit to that.
This is where the head coach role is so important. And if you do potentially have somebody who's such a defensive-minded head coach, if that's their more priority, do they even, some days you think, do they even care about the offence? They're just quite happy to see how good their defence is. And as you mentioned there with the Jets and Ryan, how that is so brutal against your offense. So there's quite a few coaching changes that look like might happen over the off season. And
yeah, and Harbaugh being offered $8 million a year from Michigan.
Yeah, that's nice work if you can get it.
Yeah, I mean, you can guarantee that's certainly turned his head. But I have a sneaking suspicion he's going to end up in Miami at the moment. That's where I'm kind of thinking. I think there's going to be a few people. I think the Jets will make a play for him. I think Miami will make a play for him. I think Oakland will definitely make a play for him. And and as much as there is that talk of he wants to stay in the Bay Area, and I think there's an element of truth to that, I also think that it will come down to money.
See, he's one of the head coaches that you kind of like the fact that he doesn't seem to be, as a head coach role, like down one extreme of, as we mentioned, defense or offense. Obviously a former quarterback, but it seems to play the head coaching role a lot more evenly and not be just one side of the ball focus. And if you look at the way the Niners sides have played, they're more of a defensive strengths would have been their strengths over his period there, but from somebody who's a former quarterback, you'd think it should be the other way around. So
yeah, I mean, as we've said before, there is the issue that offense under him has struggled a little bit in the last sort of 12 months and not really progressed and moved forward. So that is an issue, and I think he's the type of person and personality that is going to upset people, and he's going to rub people the wrong way, because I think he has a definitive, strong, idealistic view, and rightly or wrongly that view. But that he ain't going to, you know, move away from that, not one iota. So it's a challenge, but he's not going to be short of takers, is he?
No, that's for sure. He is the belle of the ball, so they say. Well, we should, after that brief recap there about a few takeaways from week 15 in the National Football League, we can recap the week 15 results in the Move the Sticks Fantasy League.
Let's do this.
It was a championship playoff semi-final weekend, and so two quite low scoring battles, but then I think that was something we noticed across generally the entire fantasy landscape across lots of leagues last week. It was low scoring week,
and there was a few bits of, I wouldn't say misinformation, but certain injuries seem to be overstated. And I mean, I certainly fell for that on one of the other leagues that we play in. I sat the running back Eddie Lacy on the basis that he was allegedly severely struggling with a hip injury, and came out and produced and cost me a place in the final. But
And I mean, there's other big injuries like Julio Jones, and I had him in a couple of leagues, and he was right until the last minute. I was still hoping that he would, and all the talk was hoping that he would play, and so
I don't think Andre Johnson didn't play, did he, well, I don't think. Or
that was a little bit of a surprise there as well. So a few injuries affecting some lineups, but two guys who have managed to get it right in week 15 are the two Tonys, the two Anthonys in the Move the Sticks League. So the first result is the Playmakers with 87 points have taken down Danby with 64 to move into the championship game this week.
Yeah, and you know, Luck's not had a particularly great game in that win over Houston, and you know, you can't afford in the semi-finals to be carrying, you know, Mohamed Sanu with 0.4, you know, Reggie Bush 1.7. But then when you look at Danby's bench, you know, he's almost maximised
what he had
exactly
for the week. And yeah, you see, with Luck, there's always this thing that he does. He's not shy of throwing a few interceptions. It was just the one this week. Yeah, there's always one or two. And
listen to Greg Cosell today while I was messing around on my car, and just really, really interested by, you know, he was talking with Ross Tucker, and talking about the fact that the reason that he throws potentially so many interceptions and the fumbles is the fact that he's the one quarterback that has to do more than anybody else.
Yeah.
And I've never really thought of it like that, but I think that's a really, really valid point, is that, you know, you remember this guy's still a young quarterback in this league. He's still learning his trade, and they put an awful lot on him. He is, when you think about it, he is fantastic.
He is, and not only do the team ask a lot of him, everybody around the world and the media has almost got this expectancy already of him, and if he does pay any attention to the media, the fans, everybody thinks and says, it's all right, we've got luck, he'll be able to win us the game in the last minutes, and he'll throw touchdowns, and he'll do everything that is needed to win a game regardless. So,
you know, and it's not being helped by the fact that the Richardson move hasn't really worked out. And at the same time, as much as it hasn't worked out, I do commend the Colts at the time for making that trade, because I thought it was a very, very solid move. But they're now left in it, because I don't think they'll win. I think they'll come up short against Denver or the Patriots.
I've got a really interesting match coming up this weekend, going down into Texas to play the Cowboys, and that's one of the ones that's kind of 50-50 these days on the consensus as to who's going to win that game. But that's going to be quite a challenge for them, because the Cowboys' defense have hustled and made turnovers and interceptions, and it could be an interesting game for Andrew in Jerry World.
Yeah, well, but a massive congratulations to Tony there and the playmakers.
Yeah.
Rightly deserved, and you know,
he's kind of his almost his studs did the job in the semi-final there with his Foster 11 and Gronk coming in with 15 and his boy Romo with 20 at the top there against the Eagles. So not the biggest score in the world, 87, but
job done
into the final
to face
our boy down under
Anthony and the Eskimo Bros seize off the decrepit off the rails D train.
Yeah, after that, what was it? Was it 7 wins to start
the
season?
Yeah, 7 wins on the trot, and
went to 8-1, and now that's a 9-6 if you count this week with the regular season. So it's 63 as well. So a disappointing week there for the D train.
Yeah, and nothing on his bench, and when you look at the players that he's got out there, you know, Morris has been a victim of the RG3 fiasco.
Yeah, his last few weeks have been really disappointing for Morris. Not got in the end zone in the last 3 weeks, and only really got, I said, 120 something yards in the last 3 weeks. So.
Yeah, he's really struggling. But again, that's not on. I don't think it's on him. I think if you plugged him in, imagine if you plugged him into, you know, somewhere like Denver or New England or somewhere. You know, imagine if you put him into the Colts at this moment in time.
It also does look. You see a few other guys popping up there for the Redskins. Riley, is it? And Cyrus Red. You just watch the highlights and you see a few highlights of their other guys almost being given a bit more of a go, as they now know they're obviously out of the playoffs, and it seems like they're just sharing out a few more reps, and it's hurting Morris in his fantasy.
Just on a quick side note, is Gruden one and done?
I'm going to say yes.
I completely agree with you. Don't agree with it, but I completely agree with you.
Not also just the way their team has performed and the whole quarterback situation, but also the way he's handled the job and the media and things he said or not said, and rightly or wrongly, some of it's been good, some of it's been bad, and you've got to learn that position as a head coach. But
to be trying to light a fire under Griffin is how, if you were to interpret his actions on a positive sense, but I just think it's so destructive. And you know, talking, and granted, the quote this week has been completely blown out of all proportions. What he was saying is what 90% of coaches say, is that you don't want to get behind the chains, you don't want a lot of, third and longs, you know, yada, yada, yada. We understand that. Yeah. But then he goes and says about, with the real kind of Shady McCoy, not Shady McCoy, sorry, DeSean Jackson kind of stand up, and it's just
he
a bit
carried
like...
away with the, Eminem song there for a moment.
My bad.
But yeah, I mean, that whole washing
your laundry.
Down with
the kids.
He's kind of washing his laundry in public a little
Which
bit too much.
So. Say, yeah. But Des Bryant, the man, three touchdowns. 114 yards.
Really, really nice performance there for Dez and Romo throwing to him against the Eagles. They found that weakness and exploited it beautifully.
Yeah, they just kept going back to the well, didn't they?
Yeah, so it's made the Eskimo Bros cruise past the D-Train with that 29 points. Did enough. So 96 points for the Eskimo Bros, which was an unchanged lineup for him. So we'll see what happens this week, moving into the championship game with the Playmakers playing Eskimo Bros for the title. Yep.
And the Thursday night game has not had an impact as of yet. So
no. Quick touch on that consolation bracket, which is the playoff for fifth place. The Kloombergs took down yourself by, what was that, nearly 40 points?
Yeah, I got well and truly done.
Big win with Jeremy Hill's contribution at 27 and that Ravens defence, who had a decent week there with that field goal block return touchdown against the Jags, helped the Kloombergs.
And you will face Willie.
Yeah, in the battle of the 7-7 teams.
Yep. Who beat Scratch and Sniff, Carl, by 108-83.3. And really there, Matt Ryan, DeMarco Murray carrying the load there.
And Carl being let down by Aaron Rodgers, who had 6.10 for his fantasy score this week, which...
It's got to be a record low.
Yeah, his lowest before that, just looking, was week one at Seattle with 9.5. But, I mean, otherwise, he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 12 other weeks, 20 and above. So,
yeah, there's going to be a squabble next year for Mr. Rogers.
Yes, unless it's a keeper league, of course.
Of course, yes.
So, we have, just a quick recap, Playmakers play Eskimo Bros for the title. D-Train and Danby playoff for third place. You've got Kloombergs facing Willie and the Hurricanes for fifth place. And Scratch and Sniff plays yourself for what is the seventh place playoff, I believe.
If you had to pick a winner out of the Playmakers and the Eskimo Bros, who would you take?
Well, just looking at the matchups, you've got Romo playing Stafford and...
Stafford has a cracking matchup in that for me.
He does, and it's one of these also these intriguing games where Anthony's sitting pretty with the fact if Romo does well, generally he's thrown to Dez, and Dez is just sat there on the Eskimo Bros team. So
yeah,
Tony could be helping out Anthony there, but I think Charles is the little bit of the question mark for the Playmakers. He needs them Charles to come in and be cleared to play because it's
Foster against that Baltimore front. Okay, there. I know they're missing Helatinata, but they've looked nasty in Suggs and Terrell Suggs and Elvis Dumervil have combined for the most sacks across the league, and it does worry me the fact that they're potentially going to play Case Keenum, who was on the roster and then cut from the roster on the Rams practice squad, gets cut from them, and then now he's back with the Texans.
Yeah, quite an incredible turn of events there. And you wonder how much that affects Foster this week. You obviously want to try and use the running game maybe a bit more, but as you said, that Ravens front is nasty. And but at the same time, for Eskimo Bros, he's got Forsett playing, who's had a great season, but still no fun really trying to run through that front of the Texans either. So
no, and Gronkowski you expect to go off. Macklin has a really nice matchup against the Washington Redskins. So the thing that could tip it for me, is I do like Stafford, but then I look and I think Lions defense, Jimmy Clausen. It could be a really really close one.
And at the same time as well, Romo, if this is one of those games where you look and think, Colts versus the Cowboys, that should be a shootout as well, really. So Romo could go big, but as we say, that could be the little factor that Bryant could steal it for him. But so I'd put my money on the Eskimo Bros taking our title.
that's where I am at the moment. And I'm mainly based on that. I think Stafford's going to go ridiculous, and I think that Romo and Brian kind of cancel out each other.
Yeah, so 1 week to go. We've got a little bit of housekeeping to just tidy up from week 15, despite the fact only, obviously, those eight teams were playing. The awards last week were the Klingbergs outperformed their projections for the Above and Beyond Award. Scratch and sniff with Carl left the most points on the bench, poor lineup decisions. And despite not playing, I effectively picked up the Snickers Award with Odell Beckham character. So, quite unusual to be given that award there. I mean, we could look through the numbers to see who got it for who was playing, but just a quick note there. Odell Beckham, he's just playing lights out, and you just look at it. I was looking at his totals. Just incredible considering he took the first 4 weeks off.
Oh, he is. He's remarkable, isn't he? What he's come in and done.
Yeah. So, just looking at their matchup, they play the Rams in Week 16, the Giants, and still again people playing for potentially jobs, but at the same time, a lot of talk is basically all down to Coughlin now. They probably made enough wins that he can be safe if he wants it. Is some of the talk. So.
Yeah, I think he'll get to decide when he bows out because they finish strong. But I don't know. Beyond Beckham, yeah, Cruz can come back. They still, you know, the O line has got better.
Yeah.
They still need to find a consistent runner in the backfield, and defensively, they aren't quite getting to the quarterback as well as they did during those kind of Super Bowl runs. So they're close, but you know, with the it's could become a really competitive league, because I don't think the Eagles are going to drop off, and you know, the Cowboys have done well, and they should, if Jerry you know, manages to sort contracts out.
Boy, he's got a lot of work to do this off season.
Well, that's the big concern, because you do get the sense that DeMarco Murray will be out the door, and that Peterson will be brought in, which suggests that they might franchise Dez. But if they franchise Dez, I get the impression he's the kind of guy that might toys out the pram.
Yeah.
You don't know. Big off season, because I think that Rod Marinelli has masked a hell of a lot of issues and deficiencies on that D.
And do you think they've done that all as well without Sean Lee as well, who again missed another season?
Did he go down in the opening day of training camp? Yeah. Was it? I mean, yeah. That's, you know, if they can get him back and keep him healthy, you know, do the Rolando McClain has had a decent year? Can they sort of tie him down to a team friendly deal? And you know, is his head going to continue to be in it? And you know, there's so many ifs, buts, and maybes, and can they, again, you know, go into the draft and continue to hit home runs?
Yeah, so huge off season there. Thoughts for the week 16 ahead? We obviously had the Thursday night football matches already in the bag.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be brutally honest with you. I've read a lot about it. I've not seen an awful lot from it. I'm very, very excited to watch the Redskins versus the Eagles tonight.
Yeah. And it's the battle of our teams at late Saturday night here in the UK. The Chargers going into the Field of Genes.
Yeah. Don't know quite what to make of it, because there's a lot of injuries across the board. There's reports that Rivers has a back injury. Mm. There's reports that Matthews won't play. Obviously, Keenan Allen's now gone down with the collarbone to the end of the year. Mm. I think it's a huge ask for the Chargers to now make the playoffs. You get the impression with the Chargers is that they are just, they're good enough to beat the bad teams, but not quite good enough to really mix it with the big boys in the AFC.
Well, that's it. I mean, you look at, they can potentially pip the Chiefs to the second position there in the West. But at the same time, if that's going to happen, the Chiefs are likely going to have to lose this week, which puts the Steelers way out. And it's looking like those two wildcard slots are coming from that AFC North at the moment. Basically, whoever wins Chiefs Steelers could be, that could really keep the Chiefs in with a shout there. Of course, I am slightly forgetting the Bills at 8-6, but
You have a hard time believing that they can go into New England.
Last game,
and then really make a white splashes and a wave. But
I fancy the Niners this evening against the Chargers.
I haven't
think
set
all the injuries
my pick-ems for the week yet. I'm still umming and ahhing over that one. I'm definitely having the Eagles out there. I think that,
there's so many kind of stories to this with how the Harbaugh, is he keeping his team up for it, so to speak, and now that they're out of the playoffs and what happens there. They've obviously been hit with quite a few injuries, and Borland's out and Hyde's out, Crabtree's questionable, I think, and there's lots of injuries, as you said, so it should be a good game to catch up on. Probably not going to watch live, but catch up on Sunday before the other Sunday football matches take off. Otherwise, the other little thing just to recap on for week 15 is, sorry, I forgot to chuck out some nominations to you for moves and mistakes. So I've got a couple here in the Move the Six League. It's obviously difficult with so little teams playing, and also, as I said earlier, things like the Eskimo Bros were unchanged, so no moves or mistakes really there. But just to bring it back and look at a couple, we've got one move which was helping the Klingbergs against yourself, playing Jeremy Hill with the kind of game-winning score there against yourself, but also another nomination there for Klingbergs is playing that Ravens defense, which kind of was, in a way, the make or break difference for the Klingbergs there against yourself with 20 points, rather than playing his Seahawks who are on the bench at 10. So that was one move for the Klingbergs, the defense. Another move to chuck out there isn't a good move, because it's something that didn't work for me in another league, which was all the talk about the potential gamble to play Manziel. And Tony made the right choice, and kind of putting it as a move of the week not to play Manziel and stick with Romo, despite the fact everybody thought Manziel could go off.
Yeah, and there was a temptation, and with Romo, you know, no one quite knows the extent of that back injury, if they're truly honest.
So, really just those few to pick from, there's not really much else out there. Move.
What was the defense again? Sorry.
It was the Klingbergs playing the Ravens, obviously streaming nicely against the Jags, rather than his backup defense who he's been playing in the recent weeks, which are the Seahawks. So
I'd have to go with that one, mainly because of just a bold move to drop the Seahawks when they've been lights out, and that's really, really good streaming, and some great kind of fantasy kind of you know, playing the matchups and not getting sucked in by, you know, always playing the so-called star, you know, of the show.
It's one of those things. The defense is, when people do try to stream it, as we play a number of leagues, it's one of those things that can help you in one, but then might ultimately hit you on the other side in others. Like, I found that against the Ravens this week, had them in one, but was playing against them in another, and it cost me the one where I played against them, so streaming defense is still a big skill to that pays off if you get it right each week. So well done, the Klingbergs and Zip. Mistake-wise, though, I've got a couple for you to choose from. We've got the D-Train. One of the mistakes was playing the Eagles defense, who scored just a point against Dallas, rather than choosing to play the Chiefs, who were going up against the Raiders. And Raiders took home 16 points. That's one option. Another one is also David. in the last couple of weeks, he picked up and played Stedman Bailey, and then he dropped into the waivers before week 15, and he actually, not the worst week in the world, just had 8.7 for Bailey, but the guys that he moved in ultimately was Fitzgerald, who only had 3 points, so, and his other receiving options, Bolden and Moncrief, who he bought in for Bailey, yeah. Didn't score either, so dropping Bailey to the waivers, despite the fact he had a decent week 15. And then finally, for Carl in the consolation bracket, might not have been match winning, but as we've talked about before, making moves and not then putting them in your lineup, he picked up LeGarrette Blount to replace Jonas Gray, in fact, but sat him on his bench, and he did score a touchdown, not the biggest week, but 8.4, and one of those ones where you've picked up a guy but not ultimately played him, and he scored a touchdown. So Carl with...
I think that one for me, mainly because it's the kind of move that I've done, yeah. And I'm over this year, the one thing I've learnt most, more than anything with the fantasy, is that if you pick a guy up for all the right reasons, you then have to have the confidence to then play him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, because you know that's the whole thing with the waivers, is that you scour around, you look around, you picking up these guys based upon 9 times out of 10 because you believe it to be a favorable matchup,
yeah.
And then you've gone through all that logic in your head, and then you have the self doubts, don't you?
Mm.
And then you convince yourself that no, I'll stick with what I know. It's like, no, trust your original and back your original decision. And that's something next year that I'm definitely going to try and do more, not second guess myself, and stick to what I believe in right from the get go. And I think I'm going to be more right than I am wrong.
Well, that exact same principle could be something that comes back to bite Tony and the playmakers in the final, because the only change that's really been made this week was he picked Toby Gerhardt off free agency, but then left him on his bench for Thursday night football. He scored a touchdown. He got 12 points. You do look at his other two backs in Charles and Foster, and you obviously wouldn't dislodge them, but as a flex option, you've picked somebody up and not put him in the end, and he's ultimately scored a touchdown and done all right. So we'll see if that comes back to bite Tony.
Mm.
But
that's kind of my big takeaway from the year, without a shadow of a doubt.
So well done to Carl for the mistake award for week 15. And I think really just the final thing for us to touch on is the fact that we have a big semi-final playoff matchup.
We do,
between
after
ourselves.
Last week's debacle where we both missed out on another semi-final. We both got knocked out of a... was it semi-final again in the other?
No, it was a quarter-final
in wasn't
the
it?
20-man league that we play. I got knocked out of 2 semi-finals last week. It was a brutal week for us, so both of us are now just left with this one remaining team. Obviously, there's a few consolation matches out there, but in the real big boy football, we are up against each other in the Hall of Lane League, which we run as well. And we were the top 2 seeds, but I seeded 3rd with a 10-5 season record, and you were the top seed with that 11-4 impressive.
Yes.
Regular season record.
But you, because it's 3 leagues and you finished 2nd in your league, that's where we ended up.
That was it. We got. I just got pipped by a head-to-head for James in my division. So he has picked up the 2nd seed there. And he actually, in fact, in the other semi-final, made that move to play Gerhardt and put him in. So he's got a 12 points on the board already against a rather nicely titled team, the Magicians Alliance, for all your Arrested Development fans out there. Always makes me chuckle. So and that, in fact, is a chap over here in the UK, Aaron, running that side. So this is our last battle, really, of the season between us two. And
yeah, And I have to say that I don't know who's going to win it. And when I look at it, I can make a case for either of us.
Yeah.
All I would say is that whoever wins, one, we have to bring a title home. One, you know, after last year's, you know, rookie kind of breakout, to not bring anything home.
So in six leagues last year, we took down three of them between us.
Yeah.
And this year in six leagues, we've only got this one left to do. So, but we've both got projected high scores this week, 123 and 107. It's just got me in the lead on that at the moment. But your running back stable is so impressive with Charles and Bell. And I think obviously the question mark when you look at your lineup is just always Sanchez and how he'll come through now that you've been forced to make that change, even though you've played him in and out, but that dropping of Jay Cutler.
Yeah, and that has and that's been the killer all year. And the Cutler thing is now fascinating because head coaches have huge egos, OCs have huge egos, quarterback coaches have huge egos, and there will be someone out there that will want to fix Jay Cutler. There was talk of reading from Adam Schefter before, who was talking about the Bears might have to package a pick within that to trade him.
That's incredible. I guess that's just to offset the money side.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was talking about. So basically, it might be a case of Jay Cutler plus a third round pick for. And then you might trade the other team might trade a 7th round pick for that.
Yeah. There's a few things being chucked out there, Tennessee being one of them. That's obviously the state where he played his college ball, I believe, at Vanderbilt.
So, yeah, Rams, because there's talk of Fisher wanted him out of college.
I'm just thinking about it now. I mean, I know the Texans have bought in Mallett, but they've got the ability to do it. He almost seems like, would he be the type of quarterback that would fit O'Brien?
See, for me, I'm not convinced O'Brien. O'Brien, I think, wants a kind of, not a robot, but someone that's going to run his offense to the nth degree. Someone I think would be perfect is Arians.
Mm.
You think of what, and Palmer's not without his flaws, but Palmer, big arm, vertical passing game, there's plenty of, we're talking 5-step drops. There's not sort of, 3-step drops and out at the hand or, one step. And it's, there is a lot more kind of vertical. I think that would be perfect. Now, whether, the Cardinals would be willing to put that together and obviously that they've got money tied up in Palmer, I think that makes it the deal almost non impossible, but from just a purely kind of, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, and I think just watching Cutler, I've not watched too many of his games that closely, but I did see, obviously the Saints went ahead early against him last week and they were always behind the eight ball, but then just his whole kind of demeanour and body language was just atrocious. He was so lethargic, and even at the line of scrimmage, there's almost talk you think, oh, you should be so calm and cool, and not kind of be rushing things almost, but there's got to be an intensity there still, and you see him at the line of scrimmage just like, what should I do here? Should I bother? Do I want to do this?
Yeah. I think there's an element. I completely agree with that, and I think there is a problem with the way that he carries himself. And I think that there's some guys that are like that, and the problem is that once that perception is out there, they are labelled that rightly or wrongly.
I mean, you're always going to get that when teams are mathematically out of playoffs, but the issue with him is because he's got that massive contract, he doesn't have to bother for those last few games. Compared to other players who might be playing for contracts. But
think about this, right? We all know what Cutler is. Cutler is a big-armed, physically gifted in that regard, in the sense of the arm. He's relatively, would you call him relatively athletic, sort of mid-range athletic?
Yeah, he can move around a little bit.
He's not a running quarterback, but he's definitely mobile. So he has has a lot of the kind of tools you would want in a QB, but he's not a typical kind of, you know, drop back kind of rhythm, you know, very kind of pretty kind of, you know, passer in that regard. Is that a little bit on Trestman trying to, you know, force Cutler into that system? Again, does it not come back a little bit to, you know, does Trestman have to bend a little bit to the will of what Cutler's attributes and strengths are?
Yeah, this is the interesting thing we've talked about before, with coaches needing to assess what their player strengths are that they come into and they inherit, and moulding their scheme and not just sticking rigidly to it. And it's the interesting thing was, obviously last year, where there was absolutely no question of Cutler being almost the guy for that offense, and they were scoring touchdowns. Well,
hence the big contract.
Yeah, so it's what exactly has changed to you this year?
Yeah.
Is it purely the fact he got the big contract and he kind of said to himself, you know what, I don't have to do too much? Is he that type of wired guy?
Could, you know, and that's there's going to be guys that are out there, and that's the risk that you run when you structure contracts with the heavily, loaded guaranteed money.
So it'll be very intriguing to see what happens there, because
I'm so excited to see what goes on, because, you know, will Trestman be there? Yeah. If Trestman stays, can't see Cromer being there, you know, regardless if Cutler's there. Does Emery keep his job? Do they clean house? You know, did he clean house with the coaching staff and keep Cutler? I mean,
because you never know how this change in dropping Cutler has come about. Does Trestman speak with ownership about this? And he's actually behind the doors. He's actually got good job security, and he's not under any pressure.
I mean, there's a rumor going around that he's doing it to prove that it's that it's Cutler and not the system, to almost save his job. You know, if Jimmy Clausen comes in and runs the offense as intended, then it's almost like, see, not me.
Yeah, that's it. So, one really intriguing place to watch this off season, and just trying to think, their schedule finishing up. They've got the Lions this week, and it's going to be potentially a brutal, tough start there for Clausen if he doesn't get it right coming in.
Oh yes, we're bloodbath.
So, as we said, we're playing each other in that league, with you having to go to Sanchez at your quarterback for this semi-final, which we have this season a week later normally than all the other fantasy leagues, with a week 17 championship game, which is always a bit tricky, and maybe the commissioner might have to change that next year. I look forward to taking you down in our final matchup of the season.
You speak a lot of big words, so we'll see.
Yeah, well, I've done well anyway in this league to get to the playoffs this year, because it was my worst, a bit like this podcast league, Mover Sticks League, it was my worst one, the one that I actually was commissioner of last year. So it seems to be the curse of the commissioner.
Indeed.
I think that about wraps it up for this episode 17 of Move 6 Podcast. Sorry, Pipe and Slippers Podcast. My apologies.
What did you call it?
I just said the Move the Sticks Podcast.
Did you?
Yeah. Sorry, DJ.
That was Stephen Rudkin. That's at Stephen Rudkin. So follow him on Twitter, and please be point all legal documentation, libels, lawsuits, and slander, and all the rest of it towards him and not me.
Yeah, I'm sure producer TD doesn't care.
He's probably sick.
Yeah, having off day. He didn't listen to us. So nothing more to add here, and good luck to Anthony and Tony playing each other in our championship game.
And good luck to yourself against me, and may the best man win.
Indeed. We shall. One of us will be bragging and boasting this time next week when we wrap up week 16 of football. And we'll see. See you next week.
See you later. Oh, I've been sipping a tea.